This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus. Showtime.
Well, hello, everybody. We are back with a new show today. And, you know, typically this time of year, Daryl, we would be enjoying ourselves in Las Vegas because this is Vision Expo West time. Unfortunately, as you guys all know, we're enjoying Vision Expo from our own homes. It's virtual this year, but we've got the next best thing to being in Vegas live. We're actually on the show this evening with the Chief Executive Officer of the Vision Council. Please welcome Ashley Mills.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, Ashley, I mean, this position is an incredible position to be a part of. I know that you've got a ton of industry experience. So would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself and how you got to be CEO of such a major organization?
Sure. My background is in marketing and communications. And so in 2003, I had the good fortune of joining the Vision Council as their director of marketing for Vision Expo. So I fell in love instantly with the shows and the people and the profession and the industry. And then after several years working at other trade associations around Washington, I thankfully had the opportunity to come back and work on the Vision Expo shows and then became CEO. So for me, just my career interests in consumer products and marketing, luxury and fashion, and my previous experience in healthcare all intersect in vision. And it's just, it's an incredible opportunity. I'm really grateful to be here.
Well, before we even get started and we dive deep into this, I just want to tell you that I love Vision Expo. And for me, Vision Expo is just one of those things where, you know, you get quality education, you get the network, you get to see the latest and greatest when it comes to technology, whether it's some type of instrument or some type of eyewear, lens technology, you name it. And I just love it. But I really love the networking opportunity that you get whenever you're at Vision Expo. It's just unmatched. It's phenomenal. I love it. I'm all about getting my education, but at night turning up like a rock star. So although, like Jen said, we're not there today, you know, we still have it going. Even, you know, on your phone, at least an iPhone, sometimes you get some memories pop up, and I'm getting memories starting to pop up of Vision Expo West. So I'm missing it right now for sure.
No, it's an experience that is definitely unparalleled in the eye care industry. And when you mentioned earlier, you were talking about eyewear, healthcare, fashion, like it's such a true intersection. And you mentioned just all the things that make it Somford so unique. And if your passion for optometry, if you guys are like feeling a little bit burnt out, nothing's going to re-energize your love for this business like going to a Vision Expo show.
I'm really glad we're talking about this because I just got home and I had a package from Sheena Taff and the iStyle influencers who would have been doing social media for the show. So I know it would be inappropriate to wear this. However, I need to show this to you. So the card says, let's get cozy and share the Vision Expo experience safely from home. Hashtag iStyle influencers. And here's why I didn't wear it to this, but I'll find a way. It's a robe that says, I am virtually ready. And you might recall that our tagline for the shows was I'm ready. Mm-hmm. So we're virtually ready now. But I thought that was so sweet. And it's the kind of relationships that you have in this industry that are just truly unlike any other industry I've worked in.
And like you said, this group, I mean, there's such a spirit, the I'm ready marketing each year where you've got it's all done in our robes. But I've been seeing these robes pop up all over Instagram. Like, and it's just such, like, you can feel the passion of the community. Like, people want to be a part of this even when they can't be there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm so grateful to know Sheena and It's so sweet. I'm glad that you have one too.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Sheena.
I feel like with Vision Expo, it's kind of like the heartbeat or the pulse of the eye care industry, you know, because it's where everything goes down with the latest trends and all that other jazz. And you learn so much and you just grow as a person and as an eye care professional that it just makes you better all around. So I can't wait to get back to that more face-to-face interaction, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, getting hugs, high fives, because I'm over this virtual high five business. How about yourself, Jen?
I mean, yeah, obviously, like I would love to be going out and doing things and sitting down beside you guys with a glass of wine or something at a bar. I mean, that would be ideal. I'm just hopeful that 2021 is a better year, right?
Yes. Yes.
But I mean, I think everyone listening, know everybody knows how much there is to love about Vision Expo. And I don't think people really realize the whole group that's making this show happen. And the Vision Council is more than just Vision Expo. That's just one of the things that they're doing for our industry. So tonight, actually, since we've got the luxury of getting to talk with you, we want to talk about the Vision Council and really what it's doing, because they've got a whole new look for 2020. And I want to hear a little bit about how you guys decided to do this whole rebrand for the year.
Well, thanks for asking. So the Vision Council, for those who don't know, we're really the industry association representing all of the eyewear manufacturers, designers, lens companies, equipment manufacturers, and contact lens manufacturers, as well as now optical retailers. And so what we do is we try to lead on behalf of the entire industry. And our new look and feel and brand, when you see it, you'll understand what I'm saying, but it's several different colors in a very optimistic upward V shape, which really represents how the Vision Council brings all of the diverse segments of the industry together. And we're all in this for the same reason. We think that vision matters. We think it needs to be elevated. We think it impacts how people live life, and we want to be the leader in making sure that people get vision correction that they need to live their best lives, period. Vision is empowerment. So that's why we exist. And then our mission is really to promote growth in the optical marketplace. And we do that through things like the trade shows and our consumer awareness, our advocacy in DC and on the regulatory front, and as well as our research. So we're really here to help all of us, everyone's businesses, move forward.
Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about the colors, because, you know, for me, and Jen knows, I like color. To me, color is everything. You know, like, we live in a very diverse world where there's folks of different color, and then we're all eye care professionals. So we love a frame that has a little pop of color. And even when you look at our background on this Defocus Media, what do you see color? What was the process like in regards to picking the various colors? I mean, was there each color mean something, or did you guys hire a third party, or did you all to come together as a group? I mean, what was the science behind the actual color code? Because that was one of the things that you brought up at the beginning.
Yeah, it's really, so the brand and the website is all part of a strategy that we embarked on a year ago and announced back in January. Where the Vision Council, we're here to serve the optical industry. And so we wanted our website and our presence to be much more reflective of the diversity in the industry. So that's why the many colors. And I have to borrow this from our creative director, Amy Applegate, because she said it so beautifully. But while we don't have every color on the spectrum represented, we still have that feeling that all of the colors together make that shining bright light, and that represents the leadership and the go forward for us. So it's actually, there's a lot that behind all of it that we were all eager to embrace and take forward.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned so much diversity. I know that's a big thing that you guys have taken as a major mission, with especially with the new rebrand, but even back in 2019, you guys were doing groundbreaking studies with the Vision Council, exploring diversity and inequality in eye care in a way that's never been done before. I want to read off some stats from this study that you guys did back in 2019, because it looked at 206 eye care workers in the industry, of course, and they found that compared to the average U.S. workforce, eye care industry workforce is 11 years older, 6% less female, 6% less people of color, 12% less Hispanics, 1% less people who identify as LGBTQ. And when you're looking at senior management, at the C-suite or partner or director level, in vision care, it's wider, it's more male, it's, you know, just less representative, even compared to the U.S. workforce. And I thought that was, you know, honestly, from looking from the outside, probably not surprising to hear, but to see it written down on paper is still extremely frustrating. And I mean, I'm glad the work's being done to find out, but what did you guys think when you got the results of the survey?
Well, I don't know that, so I don't know that we were shocked, but really the point of the survey was to benchmark, because until we had a benchmark, we couldn't start setting goals and start to keep taking action, right? So the benchmarking was the first step. I'm pleased to report that now that we know how we measure up against other industries and how we know that our dynamics, now we can really start establishing actionable goals for the industry. And that's what's happening now with the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Task Force that the Vision Council is leading under Terrence Lachran in our office. We want action. So now that we know where we stand, how do we get this to take root, and how do we start to change the workforce dynamic in the industry? And so we have established small steps, but you should see progress quickly. And that'll be manifested through programming, through the Vision Council, and also even at our shows, our conference speakers, our conference content. Those are some first steps for us. No one's going to stop this. I think if any industry can do it, it's optical. And I think we can set really lofty goals, because this is happening and we're going to go there, and you'll either come with us and you'll be part of the change, or you'll be left woefully behind, because this is moving quickly. And it's been so beautiful to see the support throughout the industry and the profession around this initiative. So the worst thing that we could do is just talk about it. The best thing that we can do is actually establish some initiatives so we can chart progress. And that's where we are now.
Yeah, two things. Number one, I love when I hear actionable items, because people can talk all day long. And that's what people have been doing for the last, not just 2 years, but decades. So it's great that you guys are taking action. And I'm glad that you guys have a great leader with Terrence, because he makes a world of difference. And
yes, he does.
I love his vision. I love the things that he's done in the industry. So that was a great selection to lead this movement. The other thing I wanted to touch on was, you're right, we're the optical business. You know, it's all about vision. We help people see better, right? So why not help all the other healthcare disciplinaries to be able to see the right way of doing things as well? So this was kind of like made for us in a way, you know, because vision and having the right vision at the same time. So this is just an amazing time in eye care. And I just see a lot of diversity starting to take place. And I know for Jen and I, you know, diversity is a big thing, you know, whether it's, you know, more women in optometry dealing with wage gap issues, whether it's more Black optometrists trying to increase the representation. Defocused media is heavy into just making sure that it's more of a diverse world. And even when you look at our people that we bring on our show, it's always a diverse panel as well. So we are behind you guys 100% in regards to this.
Thank you. I think we can do this. I think optical can set the standard. And I think we can do this demonstrably and quickly.
Jen, I would love to know some more of the stats, because I know you're a stat guru and I know you researched a lot.
Well, you know, what I thought was so interesting is because the stats from this survey really reflected how I've personally felt in the industry. I'm sure, Daryl, how you personally felt, where you could see that there wasn't a lot of diversity. It didn't seem like there was a lot of room for us in a room at certain points in our career. Mm-hmm. That's reflected in some of these survey results back in 2019. So when asked about their outlook for personal advancement, 27% of the women surveyed said that they had a negative opportunity for achievement. And people of color, 35% of them reported that they had a negative outlook on their ability to achieve in this industry. And that's, I mean, it's demoralizing to not see yourself reflected in leadership when it comes to the eye care industry. And I think that really touches on like why it's so important. You've got this whole generation of opticians, of optometrists, of people working in the fashion side of the business, and they don't see any opportunity for someone who looks like them with their perspective, because nobody else, like they feel like they're an exception, not a part of the collective. And that's why it's so important to make these changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know, Jen, you and I, we've had tons of conversation. I remember one time we were talking and, you know, there was a brand out there that, you know, you were passionate about for contact lens, and they just made the most upside down comment about women in optometry and being able to lead those conversations. And I almost fell out of my chair when you said that. I mean, I almost was like, Jen, let's go get these people, man. I got to have a conversation with them. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that wasn't too long ago. That was
it was just a couple years ago where I was in a room and we were told that there couldn't be too many women, you know, speaking in front of people, maybe room for one. So we'd have to kind of fight it out on which one of us wanted to be nominated. And I was like,
I'm sorry. I mean,
but so it's like these kind of things. So like I said, I was just applauding the Vision Council for doing this kind of research. Like you said, you've got to establish the baseline. Sometimes it gets put out like, oh, well, you guys are saying these things, but that's just how you feel. But feelings are one thing. The stats don't lie.
It's true. And believe me, when we decided to do the study a year ago, we were very much of the mind that the study is nothing if we just drop it, put out the press release, and walk away. And so we released it at our executive summit, which is over 300 C-level executives in the industry. We complemented it with a diversity and inclusion speaker, Francis Fry, who's a Harvard professor and a very a notorious author and speaker on this issue. And we're going to back it up. I mean, the work is not, this isn't just over. We're going to drop another survey this fall, and we're going to continue this work because, again, like we are the leadership organization for the industry. We're going to do this, and we certainly have plenty of support. And we know people want it. So I think this is our time. We're going to do it.
Well, we can't wait to see what comes next from this conversation. And we're hoping in a future episode, we're going to have Terrence on to dig into what the diversity task force is working on specifically, so people know how to get more involved. But y'all stay tuned for that conversation, because we're bringing more on this line of discussion, of course.
Good.
So, you know, obviously, like, Daryl, you're going to have to stop me and interrupt me, because a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about today had to do with some stuff
figured out. And if you're a data girl.
But okay, one of the things that I love so much about the Vision Council is how much great market research you guys put out. And that's something that I don't know how many optometrists are realizing. Like, y'all are conducting some major market trends, major resources for us to understand not only what's happening with our industry, but what's happening for our patients. How are they feeling about optometry? How are they shopping our small practices? And it can really help open your mind to what you need to do better in your clinical care setting or in your optical to better reach your patients. So in August, there was a new report out looking at eyewear marketplace trends. And I would say the data was sobering. I think after COVID, we all expect, I mean, this hasn't been a fantastic year for any small business or any industry, but I know since we reopened, Daryl, you and I are the same way, like so busy, so many people coming into the practice. We feel busier than ever. But when we look at statistics, it says more people are wearing glasses than ever, but less people intend to purchase glasses. So, the number of adults using any form of vision correction increased by 0.7%, or about 1.4 million people year over year, and from March 2019 to March 2020. But the Vision Council's RX Eyewear Future Purchase Intent Index dropped to 99.7, which is its lowest in a decade. So unfortunately, people more than ever need our glasses, but less people than ever are planning on actually buying them. What do we need to take away from this?
Well, I can place it in a little bit of context. That is not a statistic that is welcome among my members either, believe me. We need people going back to get eye exams and taking care of their vision health and purchasing the optical products that they need. But that 99.7 represents a low. The average was over the last 10 years was 104.5. And every point it drops represents 1.6 million pairs of eyewear.
Yikes.
So we definitely are feeling the COVID effect. However, we continue to do COVID consumer intent studies, as well as eye care provider studies. And we can certainly see where we hit rock bottom and where we're starting to come back. And so the trends overall are very positive. If you look at where we were in April, I think 15% of consumers said that they were going to cancel their eye exams. In August, it's down to 7%. So we're coming back. We also know that consumers, about 41%, which is the majority in our studies, they say that they're going to get the vision care they need and purchase optical products no matter how they need to. I mean, so the takeaway would be they're either going to do it the way they always did, they're going to do some kind of blended research and purchase online, or they're going to come in and see their retailer or their doctor. So that is not as grim as it would have been a while back. And then in terms of the eye care providers, we monitor if they're investing in their businesses or what they're seeing, which I think is helpful so you can understand where you stand against everyone else. And I want to say our low point was in June, where eye care providers, 66% of them were reporting a significant drop in their business. And now we are back up to, well, back down, I guess, only 38% are saying that now. So between June and August, that's only 2 months, but a significant uptick. And it seems to be going in the right direction. This is not over for any of us by any stretch, but when you look at where we were in April, May, and June, as opposed to now, things seem to be going in the right direction. We're also heartened to see that Americans rank their vision health among the top five healthcare priorities. I would like it to be number one. That's something that we should all be working towards, but I'm happy to see that vision health is being prioritized even in a landscape where there's so much noise about COVID.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I mean, COVID is horrible. It's no doubt about that. But at the same time, it has brought light to vision. I mean, it's no doubt about it. More people spending time on video chat like we're doing right now, your Zoom meetings, your Google Hangouts, your whatever it may be. So I have tons of parents come in that are just inquiring about blue light glasses or anti-reflective coating or good computer hygiene. So for me, I love to have an educated consumer or patient come into my office inquiring about a product because it makes it easier for them to understand the importance of vision, but also it helps the bottom line of the office. And now they understand that this is an annual thing that they need to do because they've experienced it firsthand. So, I mean, there is something positive to take away from this. And hopefully these patients that never came in for an eye exam in the past will continue to have that eye exam year in, year out, just simply because their whole world turned upside down and they have a new way of living by doing this virtual communication day in and day out. So there's at least one positive out of this situation.
It's nice to hear someone looking on the bright side. 7 months into this, that's impressive. But certainly, the messages are definitely getting through about vision health.
I mean, we just have to look, you know, when there's, tragedy, there's always opportunity there, right? You just have to figure out where it's at and capitalize on it. And even though some thought this was going to be the year of vision, and then they said it's not the year of vision, I still feel that it is, because there's a lot of bright things that could take place as a result of this. We just got to capitalize on it as eye care professionals.
Well said.
Well, I can't agree with you more, but I know a lot of us still, despite that positivity, Daryl, cannot wait for 2020 to be over. And one of the big things about 2021 that we're looking forward to is, I mean, is there a possibility, is there that we might actually have not a virtual Vision Expo, but like a real Vision Expo. I mean, we talked about at the beginning of the show how much we all love that conference and how energizing it is for us professionally and personally. So I know it's too early to make any firm decisions, but in like best laid plans, what are you guys hoping for 2021 for Vision Expo?
So it's so nice to talk to people about it, actually. So thank you. We're very much planning to have two shows next year, one in New York and one in Las Vegas. You can't at this point, none of us can speculate on whether the cities and those venues will be able to accommodate our number of visitors. But we're planning as if it's happening. And I believe me, everyone calls me and says that they can't wait. So I think it's going to be a really fun show when we do open the doors. But, you know, one other silver lining in all of this was getting to watch how the optometric professionals reopened their offices. I think that there's been a standard set for healthcare and patient care and retail by virtue of how these optometric practices and retailers reopened. And we need our show to be as good or better in terms of how we bring visitors in and out of Expo. So I've loved the Facebook Lives and watching practices open and seeing how safety is prioritized to make the patient feel comfortable. I know that we're committed to doing that as a show too. So you guys have set a very high bar for us. And hopefully in conjunction with the cities, New York and Las Vegas, we'll be able to meet it as soon as we possibly can.
Well, whenever it takes place, at least you have two people that are definitely show up. That's Jen and I. So we're ready to
I'll be there.
We're going to get our education and we're ready to turn up as well. So we're ready for it. You know, one question that I always wanted to ask in regards to Vision Expo is that will there ever be a Vision Expo that's not in New York or Las Vegas? Will you guys ever change the location, or is this just something that is pretty much here for the rest of our lives and the rest of our careers?
I think anything's possible. We survey, we believe in data-driven decisions, and we survey and people seem to like those locations and those date patterns very much, which makes us hesitant to move, because I think people really like those two shows where they are. But anything's possible. I think, especially after the year we've had, I think we all have to think about options for everything going forward. But for now, we're on for Vegas and New York in 2021.
Now, I know this previous year, you guys were going to launch all types of new designs, new patterns on the floor and things of that nature. Are we going to see something similar, same thing, different? Did we remix it? I mean, like, what's going on with the floor layout whenever we're able to get into this actual setting?
I refer to it as the greatest show that never happened. It was going to be awesome. And 2021 was going to be phase two of it. So really, what you'll see is the full imagination and execution of the total show reimagining, which is fantastic. I think it speaks so much more to, the different types of products. It really elevates the unique quality of our exhibitors, from boutique frames to medical devices. Everyone's different. And I think they'll have a showcase that really puts that on display in the new environment. And we're really trying to be sensitive to what the buyer wants and how they want to experience the show, when, how, who they want to see, and how they want to see it. So when it happens, I mean, it's going to be spectacular. It's really, like I said, it was the greatest show that never happened. even better, right? We can just continue to enhance it before we get to open our doors this year, next year.
Well, Ashley,
I can't wait.
Neither can I, believe me.
Ashley, if you only had three words to describe Vision Expo, what would those three words be?
Fun. Inspiring and unbelievable.
I love it. I love it. And I agree with you 200% in regard to those three words there.
Yeah. Well, Asha, thank you so much for sharing all of this information. And you guys, make sure you check out the new Vision Council website, because everything's got a sleek new layout. It's rebranded. You can find that if you're a nerd like me and you want to read all those market research studies. It's a quick, easy link over. And there's also a link to the Diversity and Inclusion Task Force, so you can learn more about what's happening there. Anything else that we should help kind of spread the word while we've got you here, Asha, because I want people to get involved as much as possible at making next year's shows even better success.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, all I would say is thank you. Thank you to all of our members. Thank you to all of the people who support Vision Expo every year. I think we're better together, and we're going to come out on the other side of this, and we're going to make great progress. I know that. And we're going to do it together. So thank you all for your support.
Awesome. And if anyone has a question or wants to learn more about how they can get involved with the Vision Council, or even, you know, do something with Vision Expo, what's the best contact information, Ashley?
I mean, you can find me on LinkedIn and just message me if you like, or you can visit our website. You can find anyone on the team. They'll help you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you dearly for hanging out with us. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and the lovely Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. And we look forward to hanging out with you guys next time on the next episode of the Defocus Media Podcast. You guys have a great one, all right? Peace, and talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.